welcome into episode 110 of Keithness Craft Collective. I'm Louise, and today I've got a blether with games, what's a crack, shoppy section, swap section, knit along, passing it on, me, and a dram section with the blended malt Isle of Skye whiskey. I sponsor this from my own energy engineering business, Energy Hunt. Any links are with the show notes, so please get your cup of tea or your dram. I'll let you know what crack is in Caithness this week. Actually, I'm going to say out with Caithness, because it wasn't in it all that much.
Now for the blather.
First, the blather. The games. Last weekend, we packed the family into the car and headed down to Helmsdale, whether they liked it or not. And we attended the annual Highland Games there. My dad was from Helmsdale, so it was really good to see the family for a day. Now, what happens is, about 12 o'clock, as the pipe bands start the village centre and march up to the games, which is not that far, the crowd follow and it officially starts. There's a few competition heats in the morning, such as bagpipes, Highland dancing, but most of it's on after 12 o'clock. We got there about 11:45, quickly met my Auntie Aileen, and then we hustled up the street and saw the pipes, and then we started up to the games. Now, they have heavy events, such as tossing the K-bar, throwing the hammer, the shot put, and at the end there's a tug of war. Whilst I don't think that's a heavy event, it certainly has heavy people holding the rope. Normally they pile out of the beer tent to do this one, it's always good fun. And did you know that there's actually a technique to doing that? I didn't until the Bairns were doing it on sports day, and one of the mothers who was in the local tug of war team when she was a bit younger was telling them what to do. Oh right, okay. Obviously, it's a sport, Louise. So there's track and field events, cycling on grass, children's races, craft tents, competitions and selling of stuff, fly fishing, but in a field, because Helmsdale River is a big fly fishing salmon river, sideshows at the side, and the aforementioned bagpipes Highland dancing competitions. It's quite a busy afternoon, run very efficiently from a wee hut by people wearing full tartan get-up. It's a great day out if you're in the area and fancy seeing what a Highland Games is all about. As I went round the field, which is normally a football pitch for Helmsdale Football Club, I thought of all the different people there and why they came to the games. Now, I go for family, and I quite like the bagpipes. It was the Sutherland Pipe Band this year, and they played a very lovely version of Amazing Grace, where they started and finished with one lone bagpiper before they brought the rest in and the drums. I didn't record that, but I recorded a little bit of them piping up the street. So that's who started us in today. Richard was there for the family, and this year he took part in the hill race. And about 30 people took part, and he came in about 11th, so he did himself very proud. And this is about a 5k race, and most of that is on the hill. I'm support crew, so I was handed his jacket, his tracky bottoms and his top, and I took a wee dander around the field looking for relatives. On my way round, people were pointing at the hill to the north of Helmsdale, and going along it there, so go along there, and then they go up to that flag, and then they go up to that flag, and see the Land Rover right at the top. Then they go along to that flag, and then back it down again. And without exception, the person being told went, "Stuff that." It was really windy that day. And then there's the beer tent crew. The young ones, the older ones, the ones that like a drink, probably shouldn't have one too much. Some that like a blather. They never stay in the tent, though. Oh, no. They always overspill. It's a very, very busy part of the field, but quite a lively one. And, oh, except the tug-of-war teams, they all seem to be inside the tent when their team's names are shouted for the tug-of-war at 4:30. Then there's visitors, or tourists. You can tell them because they've got a very bemused look on their faces and are always dressed much better than the weather than myself. Then there's the Highland dancing set. They pretty much know each other and they're all well set up for it with their chairs and picnics and big cans of hairspray and bobby pins. The young dancers walk around perfectly elegant on their dancer legs with their buns in their hair. The mothers all huddle together on the circuit that reaches all over Scotland. And then there's the posh set. Around Helmsdale there's quite a lot of lodges and estates, and these tend to be owned by people who, let's put it this way, they're not short of a few bob. Their kilts are immaculate. They wear the hats with the pheasant feathers stuck to them. You know their garb is the best of the best of the best. Never wears out. But, in the same respect, they're doing the rounds, talking, just the same as the next person. Quite the thing. They're always very down to earth and they just dressed nicer. Over a wee bit is the families beside the sideshows. Or the fair, I think you might know it as. I call it the sideshows. You know, bouncy castle, hook a duck, roundabout. Sometimes you get the dodgems, one or two scary rides for the older ones. Bairns are in the phase of, Mum, can I have some more money? Or Mummy, I want some candy floss. Or Mum, I want some other tooth-rotting sweetie. My brother's quite good at the teacup right here. And then there's the other people who've packed a picnic and sat around the ring on the wooden seats. And I don't know where the wooden seats are kept for the rest of the year. They tend to have a fancy camera with long lens and come and go from their spot, but it's theirs from 12 o'clock until it closes at 5. Some of them have wee doggies that lie patiently beside them all day, occasionally wagging its tail at a passing dog. There's loads of reasons to go to Highland Games. A couple of them in Scotland you get royalty. Everyone has their own agenda for being here, be it family entertaining, the bairns the last weekend before they go back to school, the coming together of a far apart family for their once a year gathering and catching up. Glad we've made it another year and we never lost one, that's a bonus. Some like to have a drink. Some go for the prize money from the events themselves. £100 for the winner of the prize race alone and it only costs £3 to enter. Some go just to watch. Whatever game you're into, you'll have your reason for it. You might be dead competitive, like my friend Mari. She won't even let her niece win a game. And feel the need to win everything. You'll go far, my friend. The money prize being a nice sweetener, but really, you do it to win. To prove that you can be first. That's not me, by the way. I was there for the family. Catching up, the gassing. Seeing some people as well I knew. I didn't even get a burger. However, I heard the pipes and I cheered on Richard. And we can be like this for crafting. Oh, finally, she gets the tenuous link. Let's see what time it is. Ooh, 6 minutes before she even mentioned it. Right, some of us play yarn chicken. We all play yarn chicken, let's be honest. Some of us play Pictionary. Because it's art, worthy of the Tate Modern and drawing. Games, apart from the Thrones and the Hunger, or the Mind, or even the War, are supposed to be fun, mostly. I'm going up the end of my sentence. You're supposed to learn from them, be it strategy, counting, reading, drawing, working with money, reaction times, all things that are good to help you with crafting. And laughing. Laughing is a brilliant game. We need the fast reaction to catch the falling DPN, or the working out and the coordination of the puzzle of the yarn barf from. The yarn barf. The counting in boggle is good to help us count our stitches, and then the strategy of Cluedo helps Professor Plum in the library with the lead piping. Can't think of a tenuous link to craft. But, I know as well as that, the having fun and taking part makes us laugh. And we really have to laugh at ourselves sometimes, especially when we make a mistake in that cardigan. Yeah, 256 stitches. I've got 251. But we all take something to a game, be it the Stash Dash, the Cube on ITV, but at the end of the day, you take yourself, so make it count. Now, if you need a pee stop, go, because it's time for the Daisy and Sandy giggle, which I actually missed out last episode by mistake.
Hello
section. A Sandy hello to new to be, been with me for a while now and been with me forever, listeners. I really appreciate you tuning in and, well, I hope you're enjoying yourselves. A Sandy hello to new group members, Mandela UK, Walk You Home, Chelsea the Noble and Ter Doddy. Random hellos are to Elaine who loves Knots Again and who is behind. She's my Hugh from Bridge End character now. So if you listen to Rod Gilbert, then you know he's mentioned pretty much every week. One day soon we will get Elaine on here. And I'd like to say a hello to Laura Gason, Bobby from Illinois, Rusty the Captain's Wife, Cormy Stash, Marta Schmartza, who sent me an email with a voice message on it. It was brilliant! So along with quoting me back on Twitter or social media, completely encourage this. Selfishly, I love letters, be they handwritten, spoken or emailed.
What's the crack, section?
What's the crack? Oh, how sad was it to hear about Robin Williams. So, let's bring up the depression issue. Okay, listeners of mine. Now, I know there is a few of you who do have clinical depression. Some who likely have it, but yet haven't made the reach out to get help or understanding that they do. I want you to remember this. Depression is real. You are wonderful. You are unique. Both your sense of humour, your fingerprints, your irises. Nobody before you or after you will have the same iris as you. So, go look in the mirror. Look at them irises. Oh, don't trip on the dog on the way to the mirror. Aren't they beautiful? You're not alone in your sense of helplessness. There's not one person on this planet has not felt useless or helpless. But what some of them have done, and you can do this, I believe in you and your amazing irises, is go and ask for a bit of help. Remember, I have the black dog quattro, and your black dog of depression is much less fun, yet less smelly too. And he doesn't let wind and then walk away blaming you with a look of disgust on his face. There's always someone on Twitter or Ravelry. If you can't do this asking in person, at all times of the day and night, there's somebody online. So reach out, lovely listeners, reach out. And it is hard. So let's do it together. Now, not only will I have one black dog, but some of you know this, lots of you won't. Because obviously the world doesn't revolve around me. I like to think it does sometimes, you know, but I'm realistic. We're getting a puppy in 2 weeks' time. We've been talking about it for years, and finally there was an advert in the localish paper for a fell terrier going to stud, and this was a few months ago now. So we rang up and we found out more, and it's a cross fell and border terrier, so perfect ratter, mouser and rabbiter. Not actually too much different from Quattro, who's a Lakeland Patterdale cross. The Fell Terrier is counted in the Lakeland breed, as I understand it. The mother is taller than Quattro, but the father, the Border Terrier, is smaller. We've chosen a boy puppy, and he's called Buchel. That's B-U-I-C-H-A-L-L-E. And it's Gaelic for herdsman. And it was from Richard's favourite hill, Buchelative Moor, which is the big herdsman of Etive, beside Buchelative Beak, which is the small herdsman of Etive. There's also Anne Buchel, which is the sea stack at Sandwood Bay on the northwest coast of Sutherland. So whilst Buchel isn't black, because I didn't want two black dogs, and I wanted to be able to tell the difference at a distance for shouting at them, you understand, because you have to shout at dogs sometimes, he's got an orange head, a brown back, and black marks on his eyebrows. And he's very small and very, very cute. So we went down to the breeder, and there's seven puppies, a very, very nice breeder. He wanted us to meet, well, went in, met the dogs, met the puppies, and then we said we have the dog with us. So he says, oh, take him in, take him in. So took Quattro in, and after a while he decided Quattro was okay, so we let Quattro meet the puppy. So isn't that enough? Quattro approved, wagged his tail at the puppies, and Buchel. Because it was Buchel that we took out, we just sniffed the rest of them through the cage. But I don't really know what he was thinking. He's probably thinking, oh, it's very cute, yeah. Hope it's not coming home with me. But now has become the tidy up of the house, so he doesn't get the chance to chew all the things. We learned with Quattro, no destroying of things you're not supposed to destroy. Especially my craft stash. So imagine the disaster of a puppy in a craft stash. Ah! I will continue to put up photographs of Buchel on social media as well. The news continues to just be as brutal. And if we're all heading off into the pink and fluffy la-la land, let's take some puppies with us. Now, I had another game for you, but I can't actually remember what it was. So Sadie and Louise in the bus, you'll have to join in the next bit. But you're going to love this. All right. Also, Wallumbe Dreamer is needing a wee hug right now. Actually, she's needing a big hug. And this is for all you that need a big hug, but I don't know you need a big hug. So everyone, get together. Now you at the back, spunning lady, come on in. There's room up here with happy dabes. Okay, PG knitting nurse. Now, squeeze! And we have to hug for 20 seconds so our hormones release. I read that somewhere that you have to squeeze for 20 seconds for it to work properly. Okay. No. That's not quite enough. Yep, parrot head knitter. It's slightly awkward now. And it only gets worse. Yarn salad? We all need this hog. Woolly Bear's giving a lally across with Allison on Mull. Oh, hold on. Tails plain shiny bees starting to go red. Maybe not that type. Okay, I think let go. Everyone walk away slightly embarrassed, but feeling really good underneath. So there we go. A 20-second group hug. It's good, but also totes hug. I've decided I'm quite a huggy person. When my niece got her standard, or whatever they're called now, grades, she did tell me, I was very proud of her. I kept going back and hugging her. She, of course, focused on the one she didn't get a good mark on she wanted, but she did really well with A's in English and maths, so it's not to be sniffed at. She's a bright cookie, is my niece. Takes it all from her auntie, of course. Anyway, she was getting a bit totes awk with the old huggy auntie. Now, can you mind Huggy Bear? Not from Kojak. And not the Huggy Bear suit that Richard wears after he's been scuba diving. I mean the teddy bear that used to be able to squish onto a table the way his arms would stay. Or you could put them round your arm. They had loops of hands. I wonder if my mum still has him. I think they should be standard issue for the world because everybody needs a hug. Mega, mega thank you to Sue for sending me the Rebecca Danger books. Not just one, but three of them. She very kindly sent me 50 Yards of Fun, the Big Book of Knitted Monsters, and Knit a Monster Nursery. So I think, I'll have to do a review next episode. Woolly Bear, this is all your enabling. I love the monsters and the using up of the yarn. Both Bairns and Sandy's best pal have been through them and I have requests already. Thank you, Sue. I will hug you in September, maybe even for 21 seconds. I've got 21 seconds to go. Okay.
Shoppy section.
If you feel you would like to contribute to my continued running of the podcast, but get stuff back as well, then please visit www.etsy.com/shop/Keithnesscraft. Even if you're not buying, because I like the numbers. But it would be good if you bought. And a big thank you to Jasmine and Gigi of the Knitmore Girls podcast for the kind recommendation of my Etsy shop. I'd say it was praise indeed about the ancient Fraser bag, and I give full credit to Mum for making those. If you haven't listened to the Knitmores, away and give them a listen. Sometimes I don't because I think, it's a good idea, oh, I wish I thought of that. But then remember, I live in Outlander land, and they might come visit it. And I've got different irises. It's not much, but you know, people that you'd like to be. Anyway, right, back to shoppies. Mum and I have been very busy again. I say that every week. I should really change that. But we've got some Tartan Project bags for sale. If you are a fan of Diana Gabaldon's Outlander books, then hello! I've got some of the ancient Fraser Tartan now in project bags and a really luxurious brown velvet back to them. Although Jasmine pointed out that it's not so good if you've got dogs in the house, so you have to keep them good. They are that little bit special, I'd say. As I said, Mum made a really good job with these. She used her overlocker and the woolen fabric and been very mumly precise on making the tartan straight and matching it up. And it was actually noticed by Gigi, which I was quite proud of both of them. Plus, she's made some wee Notion zip pouches to go with some of them. They're ranging from 12 inches to 13 inches, fully lined, drawstring ribbon on them and finished with bony beads. Now, I had a request for a tote bag in that tartan for friends who are not knitters, but Outlander friends. And Mum did make a really lovely one, which is the custom order, which we do. Just ask and I'll give you a price. And I'm in discussions with tartan correspondent Yarnbirds on Twitter to get more tartan of various families, but maybe not a metre each. So please let me know what tartan you would like. So far, I've had requests for Mackay. Oh, no, that was just me. I am a Mackay. My maiden name's Mackay, but once Mackay, always Mackay. So there's McPherson, Cameron, Brown, Donald, Mackenzie, Dunbar and Campbell. And also requests for Highland Dancers dress tartan. Now, I know I have to spend money to make money, but it might be a bit slower because I want, selfishly, the money for America. However, I fully intend to carry on after I come home and imagine the tartan for Christmas. Yes, you're thinking about it now, aren't you? Other in the shop, there's some really bonny red tartan bags, and they've got a red scarlet back. Some plaid in bonny blue and green, and there's plaid in black and red. And there is lilac version of the Princess of Wales Diana Tardin, and it's got some really bonny hand-dyed by me purple cotton back. Now, you people who love tartan and Scottish things, imagine going to knit night and pulling out your tartan bag and going, "That you're going to be talking point. Where did you get that?" they say. "Oh, well, I got an Etsy or through PayPal, because I do that too. You just don't have to have an Etsy account. You can ask. She's got some in stock, and she's got red Kilgore tartan tote and green and blue plaid tote bags that Mum has made. And then she's got another fabric for project bags, one in red hearts and one with butterflies on it. Also, I've been sorting out making a couple more of the wee embroidered covered notebooks. And the bairns are back at school now, hooray. So I have way more time to catch up. Go to www.etsy.com/shop/Caithness Craft. And thank you to all the other podcasters who've been mentioning this. Now, talking of Fraser, let me introduce you to Castle Fraser Throughout the Year by Aurore L.A. Colas, which is an ebook you can get via Ravelry. It's not just about the castle, it is a knitting book. Castle Fraser Throughout the Year is a collection of accessories inspired by one of the grandest Scottish baronial tower house, its architecture, decoration and history. The ebook will include 6 items, or more, time permitting, released throughout the year from July 2014 to July 2015. The first pattern, Windows and Balustrades, is inspired by the impressive sculptural facade of Castle Fraser. The second pattern, Balustrades and Slates, Beanie and Slouchy Hat, draw their design elements from what can be seen at the top of the big round tower. Castle Fraser Throughout the Year is also the first volume of series of ebooks inspired by Scottish castles. Scottish Castles, A Tour in Hand Knits. And it's set at an introductory price of £6. And the price of the ebook will increase as more designs are added throughout the year from 2014 to 2015. Which, in a way, I think, oh, I'm not getting them all at once. But in another way, it's very clever, because she's giving you a good price to start off with. I'm going to say £3 a pattern, but there's loads of sizes in these. And it'll give you time to actually knit each pattern. And it's kind of what Claire Devine did with her Sock Anatomy book. Because then one random Tuesday, you get another pattern, and it's lovely. And it starts with saying, Castle Fraser, which is situated in the heart of Aberdeenshire, Scotland, is one of the grandest castles of Mar. Deeply associated to the story of its lairds, Castle Fraser is a magnificent building full of architectural and historical details. I'll let you buy it to read the rest, but I love the way that Aurore L.A. has her sketch beside the actual piece of architecture that she's taken inspiration from. Now, Aurore L.A., which I'm not saying it very goodly French, is Spinny Gonzalez, which I can't say, on Ravelry, and congratulations are due because she's not long had a wee baba, which is adding to her brood. And she's doing it for the working mothers, that's for sure. So I'm going to recommend you who like Fraser things, which is most of you Outlander fans, and then all of those who like hats and socks, which I'd say is pretty much the rest of you. So go look, and bye bye bye, Castle Fraser Throughout the Year. Obviously I'm going to have links to both of these on the show notes.
Coming up, it's there.
Coming up. I am heading to the Knitting Pipeline main retreat on the 21st to the 25th of September, and there we will meet Susan B. Anderson and do a sock bunny workshop, go to some yarn shops, and then there's a mitten knit along for charity and a knit along of Paula's newest shawl design, the Sister Bay. And I'm getting picked up by the wonderful Jan of Twinsick Designs podcast down in Philadelphia. She's then driving us up to Boston on the Saturday, then up to the retreat on the Sunday, and then back down to the farm on the Thursday and having a look round Philadelphia on the Friday before my flight at night. I think I might be getting my head banged by the Liberty Bell, and I looked it up. No, I've kind of decided I don't really want the USA back under British rule. You're better looking after yourselves. All I would do is dress you in tartan. That's not suitable for your southern climes. And Also, Jan has got the most gorgeous shawl pattern out called the Stream Bade Lace Shoulder Stole, and Woolly Bear's Knitting Dish video cast is running a knit along with it. So I'm very, 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 very uber excited about meeting the other people on the retreat, as some of you are my listeners too.
Pass it on.
Woolenby Dreamer, and actually Kirsty O'Milly, suggest that we go look up the link for the Kitchener Stitch grafting. And it's from www.techknitting.blogspot.com. And it's easier way to Kitchener Stitch. And it makes lots of sense. I will put the link in the show notes. And it is actually linked in the last episode 109 in Ravelry. So it looked quite a good idea. Thank you for that.
The swap section.
Swap. Cake swap was supposed to be sent out yesterday. Crack was a cake recipe, three items related to cake, such as yarn cake holder, or just use your imagination. Please post it out as soon as possible. If you have not or cannot, please send your partner a message ASAP. Now, life getting in the way is an acceptable reason, you know, but please let them know. Because I've had a few messages saying that they've not received theirs for various reasons. I don't like chasing you up. Especially if there's a valid reason. And also especially if there's not a valid reason. That makes me feel like a school teacher. I'm not a school teacher, I'm a bossy mother. Now, so valid reasons are acceptable, but if you don't have one, I'm afraid I'm not going to be able to include you in future swaps. And if it carried on, otherwise I'd cease organising the swaps, because it's not fair on someone sending something out and you not sending something back. They're giving you goods and you're not giving them anything back. So, yeah. Valid reasons? Fine. Not valid reasons? Sort it out. So I was actually thinking of resting this section because of it, but Spajo's again come up with a really good idea of a calendar of your local area or country. And it would be good to do it before the Christmas one, which is getting closer. But I want to hear your thoughts on this. So let me know. I'm not angry at you. Disappointed.
Knit along.
On to the Lush Knit Along. The Lush Knit Along is well started because it's a month gone now, on the 20th of July. And if you fancied knitting the Lush cardigan by Tin Can Knits, then do go join in there, because there is still time. This is a joint knit along with Knit British Cagney to My Lacey, Joel's Shiny Bees, Knit Spin Cakes Amy. There are prizes. Prizes of much coolness abounding. But I want hard work from you out awarding a project bag from me. And also there's Blacker Yarn, another yarn. You have to keep chatting each week in the live open thread between Knit British, Shiny Bees, Knit Spin Cakes and my Ravelry groups. You have until the 14th of September, which is quite coming up on us, so lash on.
The Beaker section.
Me section. Now, I'm fair lashing on with my Lush now. I didn't get the chance to do much on it with all the travelling around. And I did take it with me, but it just didn't work out. The school holidays, entertaining the bairns or the gardening. However, today was finding me picking up the stitches under the yoke and getting 5 stitches short. Jogs with needles suggested then finding them evenly along the next row, which I did. So thank you, Jogs with Needles, who always has good advice. How's the jogging going yourself? I started mine properly yesterday, and whilst I didn't stop to walk, my asthma, not as good. So I'm going to have to get back to my fitness as soon as possible. I did a stair running thing this morning from a video I found on Facebook by an Antipodean lady, Brenda Vance. It was a good exercise, and we mostly all have stairs, so it's a free exercise. And she does it full on, but she's obviously pretty fit, so don't let that scare you. Start with what you can do and work up, is what I say. I.e., I couldn't jump 3 stairs at a time, but I could jump 2. So, exercise regime has started. I am enjoying the Lush cardigan pretty much. I love being in the knit along, reading other people's tips and hints and problems and questions. And thank you for answering mine. Oh, an owl print panda, you rock. I have done lots of gardening. Strawberry jam, plum jam. Don't mention the plum chutney. The pea pods picked and potted and frozen. I ended up with almost RSI on my right thumb by podding them. Well, no, I've been a bit flippant about that. I was green with podding them because we had 5 crates of them in the end. I could have been the Incredible Hulk. Rawr, don't make me angry. But our tatties are ready, the onions are being used. Last year that I found it was good to have chopped onion in the freezer for throughout the year. But it was quite hard going trying to chop them all in one day. So this year I'm doing it as I go along and I've been doing a few every day. Quite tearful. Bearing in mind I've got 4 rows of onions. 2 red and 2 white. And then we had shallots on top of that. We do eat a lot of onions. My tomatoes are almost ready. We've got the first ones have ripened, so I'm going to have 2 for my lunch. But it's a matter of time until they're all now. And I've got plum tomato varieties and they're a decent size. So there'll be more chutneys and sauces for the store cupboard. But I'm running out of jars fast, let me tell you. Our wee apple tree gave 1 apple. It was huge, so it made up for the lack of numbers. It's a dwarf tree and it's a Bramley cooking apple. So we had it baked with raisins, maple syrup and dates. It was very nice. We've got another apple tree, but they're not quite ready. And there's about 10 of those. They're littler apples. The raspberries are finished and in the freezer waiting on me making jam and flavoured alcohol when I get more jars and more alcohol. Now, my favourite part of the garden this year has been the fact that our carrots are straight down instead of being many things curled up in comedy carrots. Because I asked Richard to thin them because I felt I couldn't kill them. But what he did was he took them by thinning them and replanting the thin ones along a row. And most of them are actually doing okay. So the ones that are left are not comedy, but worthy of my tea tonight. And they taste of carrot. Not Captain Carrot of the Watch, but ones that Bugs Bunny like. Which we actually have a rabbit in the garden. It was underneath the woodpile. So Quattro has been told that he has to make sure this thing is either chased off or does not go near my carrots. Or, well, I'll let you choose your imagination for the next bit. Thus ends the gardening, which will hopefully make up for the lack of my own crafting. I did make some bags for the shop, moved things about, got things organised and posted things and got them all pretty for posting. But a lot of the time, I sit and stare at Instagram.
We're dramming.
Drams. On to the drams this episode. After this, there is only blah 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 bit, so if you're not into the drinking, then thank you for listening. I'll catch you next episode. If you're into the drinking, stay tuned. This episode sees Richard and I drink an Isle of Skye blended malt whiskey.
We're drumming. I hope you like drumming too.
Hello, listeners. Welcome into this episode of The Drams. And this episode, we are drinking an Isle of Skye blended Scotch whisky, age 8 years. And if you're hearing a bit of background noise,
hold on.
Some of you listeners will love this. Is it's just the wind. I hope the wind. Well, the wind's not too bad.
Yeah, put it in context. Where are we?
Well, firstly, that's not Richard undoing his jacket. That's the tent. We are camping out at Durness. Oh, Quattro's come to see what it is. And normally we have Quattro making a noise. And this time we've got lots and lots of sheep making a noise.
Hundreds of sheep. Currently filming this with raindrops running down the side of the tent because it was showering earlier. And the sun just going out of sight and a nice fiery kind of sunset behind the clouds out to the west. So we're on the most northwesterly tip of Scotland, which is about 100 miles to the west of where we live, on the coast. It was a bit of a journey getting here, because it's all sort of single track and windy, twisty roads with lots and lots and lots and lots of slow tourists.
Mm-hmm.
But we're here now. We pitched a tent. We went to a place called the Cocoa Mountain. And we had a bit of an epic trying to cook our tea.
As you do with camping.
As you do with camping, yes. And then the bairns are in a little compartment there sleeping away. Quattro was in with them, but he's now come to say hello to us. And tomorrow we plan to take a wee walk out to a place from north of a wee village called Kinlochbervie, which is a fishing port. we're going to take a walk into the very remote and a spiritual place called Samwood Bay, which I was in there a wee while back on a hiking trip. But it's a fantastic wee spot. You can walk in with the burns, have a play on the beach, have a picnic and walk back out again.
Anyway, back to the whiskey, listeners. It's just why you're hearing sheep in the background. So, this bottle is a blend for a change. Mm-hmm. Can you explain what a blend is, Richard?
A blend is, a mix or a cocktail of specific malts, or single malts, which through various types of tasting and measures and proportions, they get to a blend of these malts, and it could be a whole number of them or just a few, and it just gets to a taste that people think sells and people like.
Okay, so firstly the box. Where's the box?
No box.
Why is there no box?
Because it's a blend.
Do you not get boxes with blends?
Yeah, possibly, but not normally, no.
Not this one. Does this reflect in the price?
Yes.
What was the price and where did we get it from?
The price was, I think, £17.
Mm-hmm.
We got it from Tesco's.
Okay.
And blends are generally cheaper because that's just the way of it, I guess. It's the kudos of having a malt, a single malt, and a blend is cheaper.
Okay, cool. So, the bottle is...
very sort of traditional bottle shaped. It's kind of like embossed stuff up here,
mm-hmm.
which I can't quite work out what it is.
It's a Button Bane distillery.
Button Bane's, yeah. I've seen that window stuff in it. Yeah. And then it's got a thing, the Isle of Skye, and so much money of it goes to help the mountain rescue.
What is it?
Yeah, so much, when you buy a bottle, they donate so much to the mountain rescue.
That's good. On the back.
Well, it tells you about it there.
It's got bottles in Scotland. The picture is actually...
That's not Quattro, that's a tiny, tiny little poodly dog.
Let's hope
barking Quattro way beyond the size of its boots.
It's got a picture of the hills on Skye, and it's got some climbers, possibly the mountain rescue. If this is Please Support the Mountain Rescue bottle, and it's from Ian McLeod and Co Limited, Edinburgh, distilled, blended and bottled in Scotland. It's a 70 centilitre bottle and it's 40% volume, and it says every bottle sold helps these lives. And then on the back, a bit of silver, a bit of black, it's a bit boring, perfectly honest, but the Isle of Skye True Mountain Spirit, the smooth and mellow blend of distinctive island and Speyside malts which have been matured for 8 long years in oak casks. Basically, this is as old as your boy.
Yeah.
15 pence from every bottle sold goes directly to the Scottish Mountain to fund vital resources. SARDA rescue dogs, stretchers and avalanche training. Every bottle sold helps save lives. For more information, visit www.isleofskywhiskey.com. Ugh, boring. Sensible drinking. Do not exceed per day units of alcohol. 3 to 4 men, 2 to 3 women, and 125 millilitre is a measure.
I save all mine up.
Wow.
I don't drink during the week and save all mine up for the weekend.
You're not really supposed to do that, dear.
I know.
Right. Drinkaware.co.uk. So therefore, you have to drink sensibly. I quite enjoyed the last dram because we didn't think that we had to. And there
is... it was the smallest dram in the world.
It was very nice, though. Now, this colour in the bottle is...
a monkey Chewbacca.
He is minging, isn't he? It's very dark brown.
He's been playing in the mud, that Chewbacca.
Well, it's quite peaty colour, though, isn't it? It's quite a red tinge to it.
Yes.
And I don't think that's the sunset coming from through the tent window.
No.
So romantic in here.
It is, but if you look through the bottle, you can see it. Fiery glaze. That'd be a good photo, actually.
Okay, we'll maybe do that.
You want to pause it?
So we've done the colour and cork, I'd say.
The cork, well, we don't have a cork.
Oh, okay.
Because it's a blend, I guess.
Well, I quite like this noise.
That's because you're a wicker.
Aye. There's something nice about that noise.
I prefer a cork.
I don't know, I like the cork as well.
It's
dodgy. Just a bit.
Right, hold on. Let me just get our melamine camping mugs over here. It smells lovely.
Oh, it does smell nice.
It smells toffee and sweet.
It does. We've had this dram before. Well, no, you've had this dram before.
I've had this dram before last time I was camping.
That'll do. Was that mine? Yours? Right. There seems to be a hefty dram in there. Gee whiz. See, now he's not back on the miniatures. He's slashing the drams out.
You treat it like a miniature.
Right, and now can I have... Oh, should we have a wee sniff whilst it's pure? Yes, I'm getting toffee.
I got that.
And melamine.
Yeah, I got that too.
Now, use our wonderful crystal vase glass to pour out some whiskey. That'll do. And pour out some whiskey. Pour out some water. From our still spring water 2 litre jug of bottled water.
Our supermarket bottled water. All mod cons here. This is modern camping.
It is. It's a very nice campsite at Durness. If you're looking to go camping, come here. You're right on the top of a beach. There's good camping facilities.
It's very, very busy. There's lots of people here walking about and talking. Yeah. And there's probably about 10 sheep for every person that's here.
There's loads of sheep.
Lots of sheep. And there's dogs, there's people, there's kids. And the best bit is that because the wind wasn't allowing us to start our little barbecue grill thing, they've got their own little kind of...
Shack
camping... kitchen thing that you can go in and they give you free gas and everything.
It's brilliant, it really is.
It's a really good guy, so.
Quite cheap as well. Well, reasonable.
Reasonable. It's, for what you get, it's good value for money.
Yeah, and the grass is nice and short.
And it's fairly flat if you pick a flat bit.
And there's loads of camping vans and there's loads of tents and Richard was having tent discussions and tent envy.
No, I tell you, I think we've got the best tent for our purposes here.
I would say so.
There's other tents that are quite interestingly designed and big and small and stuff, but this is ideal, suits our needs and purposes.
If you're into tents, it's a good place to come.
I'm generally, when I go camping, I go wild camping.
Back to the actual whiskey, dear.
Wild camping.
Whiskey.
Whiskey.
Wild camping whiskey, right. And have a sniff first. Slange fat. There's no clink of the glass.
No clink of the melamine camping mugs. Guy's gone red now, look.
They can't see that, dear. It's very
red. No, but I'm adding to the ambiance.
There's mackerel clouds in the sky as well.
Oh, mackerel clouds up there and it's red sky.
A good sky sign, isn't it?
Yeah, a good sign.
Although, ex-Hurricane Bertha's going to be lashing the UK over the next few days.
But look, by the time it's got over to here,
we'll just get the rain.
It'll be Bertha with a little B.
Been downgraded twice now. Right, so we've had a sniff and it smells quite toffee. And
tastes quite very mild. Very smooth.
Oh, there's a kind of smoky flavour as you breathe out. It tastes like it looks actually. It looks kind of toffee-ish to me.
It's nice, very nice.
Do you know actually what it reminds me of?
Tell me, what does it remind you of?
Wait, last night. In fact, all yesterday afternoon I'd been making plum chutney from the plums of our...
Oh, the plums.
From our tree. Couldn't believe the amount of plums that we got. Well, in the afternoon, Mother and I made some jam and we managed not to burn it to the bottom of the pan. And then did some plum chutney and Mum went off. And then I went upstairs and I said to Richard before I went up, keep an eye on that, turn it down when it comes to the boil. And he went, okay. And off he went and sat on the couch.
No, but all I this heard is was disputed. Keep an eye on that.
So a little while later, I heard a shout as I was trying to soap some project bags, and I went rushing downstairs, and the chutney had burnt. So we lost a bit of chutney, see, a jar's worth. However, it actually added to the flavour of chutney, and it didn't spoil it.
That burnt, smoky taste.
It's got a smoky taste, not a burnt taste. So that reminds me of my plum chutney, this whiskey.
Well, and the last time I had this, I was camping at Ishiga, which is not a million miles from here, when I hiked down to Sandwood Bay and then hiked up to Cape Wrath and back.
Oh, and do you know if you look out that window of the tent, the moon's out?
So it is. Look, the moon's out. Very good.
That's very nice. Yeah. Describe the taste of this.
Hold on, I need to taste some.
Apart from plum chutney, smoky flavour.
I get very sweet toffee. A little bit smoky.
Is it nice?
It's very nice. It's not distinctive, but it's nice. It's a very mellow.
Would it make you want to go climbing on the Isle of Skye?
I always want to go climbing on the Isle of Skye. It's a lovely place to go climbing.
I just came down from the Isle of Skye. I'm not very big and I'm awful shy. All the lassies say, aye, aye, Donny, where's your trousers? Donny, where's your trousers?
Anyway, I haven't had enough whiskey to sing you the rest of it because I just don't know the words until I'm drunk. Right, so it's an ice dram. The Isle of Skye is a beautiful island off the west coast of Scotland, as they all seem to be. And you used to be able to just get there by boat, and then they built a bridge. But it's one of the places that his royal bonny prince Charlie Dude disappeared off to once he had failed in the Jacobite Rising of 1745, dressed as a woman. And they sang "Speed, bonny boat, like a bird on the wing, over the sea to Skye." And "Carry the lad that's born to be king, over the sea to Skye."
You've curdled the clouds.
I think I have. Sorry, listeners.
Did you ever go over to Skye when it was a ferry?
Yes, I've been a few times. We went, and it was a very back and forward ferry. And I remember my dad liked to talk. I don't know where I get it from, obviously. But he was gassing on because my dad worked all over the place and he used to know an awful lot of people. So we knew everybody everywhere and we'd go and find them when we did. And this was before mobile phones, so it was always good fun. So I remember him going over and we were gassing to somebody and I was getting awful worried because I thought we were going to miss the ferry. To which I was told, "Louise, there's a ferry every 15 minutes. But yeah, and I've been over a few times since they've had the bridge and it's brilliant. And actually, one of my lovely listeners, Tooth Fairy, lives down that way.
Oh, very good.
She lives on the mainland and she does her running out onto the Isle of Skye Bridge.
Oh, very good.
Mm-hmm. Can you imagine that in the winter time?
Yeah.
Quite windy, she says.
Would be,
But excellent. Good training for her.
What did you do in Skye when you were in?
Well, just a couple of day trips.
The tourist thing?
I can't remember where we went when we were little peedy things. Went with my auntie Jessie and went to Portree, which is the main town, and there's a bar there that's got tartan outside painted on the wall. And the next time we went with a trip with the Scripture Union camp and stayed at Plockton, and then you and I have been a couple of times when we were working there at Ilgo. Mm-hmm. Right,
that's lovely. I've been there climbing,
which is the main climbing bits there.
Well, you got the red cone and the black cone, and the black cone's the big kind of ridge that a lot of people do. So I've done, I think, most of it. Bits probably I haven't done over various. I've not done it in a winter, and I've climbed all the hard bits there, and I've done a few sort of classic climbs in it, and a bit of fishing, and then I did some work over there as well, many years ago.
They're a lovely place. So, who are you having for a dram?
Well, do you hear that? Do you hear that? What are you hearing?
Sheep.
You know who I'd have?
Who?
The big bad wolf.
Why would you have the big bad wolf?
Well, I'd probably give him a wee bit of cooking whiskey and I'd tell him, "See them sheep? They need chased. I mean chase."
Why is that, Richard? Because I like sheep.
Not really, not tonight. They're doing my nutting. How about yourself? Who do you have?
I think I'll have Little Bo Peep.
Did you think that before?
No, that's when you said that. I thought you said about the sheep, and then I thought, but he sees Little Bo Peep. Oh, that's going to be my one.
Oh, that's too nice.
Little Bo Peep has lost their sheep. Doesn't know where to find them. Leave them alone, and they'll come home wagging their tails behind them. Right, so anything else about Skye whiskey?
Well, I would certainly have it again.
Mm-hmm. Well, you have, because you've already had it twice.
It's nice, it's a nice mellow blended whiskey, it's nice. I'd put it up there with like some monkey shoulder and that.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice, and it's cost comparable with the kind of more common ones like Grouse and Bells and all the rest of it. And I like Grouse, I'm not a fan of Bells, but no, yep.
Cool.
It's there. Yeah,
excellent. Well, you and the big bad wolf can go for a walk now. But no, don't let him chase the sheep.
Do you think I'll get locked up? Or people might ask questions if I go and chase sheep around the hills?
Yes. So, moving up.
I might have to join a queue out of this, out the sticks here.
Complaints can be made to Mr. Hunt yet again. Right, Richard. Thank you, Pat.
Thank you, Pat.
Little Bo Peep has lost her sheep, and I know where they all are. Darn nest next to the campsite. Our trip west was good.
The road out there is single track. Don't drive that road listening to AC/DC with two excited bairns in the back of the car. Single track etiquette. Pull over if you have a car following you for more than 3 passing spaces. Otherwise, you end up as ragey as my husband. And we walked out to Sandwood Bay and it was really lovely. Recommend that, but take good strong walking shoes because it's 4.5 miles out and 4.5 miles back. And you need a picnic.
Blah, blah, blah section.
Thank you very much for listening. I really appreciate you taking the time to download and then listen to me splaff on. My email is keithnesscraftcollective@gmail.com. I am on Ravelry as Louise Hunt, Etsy, Twitter, Pinterest, Instagram and Facebook as keithnesscraft. You can access the Flickr photos from Louise J 2010 via the Podbean site as www.keithnesscraftcollective.podbean.com. The photographs are down the right-hand side and so is the podcast is on there. I never actually say that, do I? The music was from Helmsdale Highland Games with the Sutherland and I think the Juniors Pipe Bands and the Sheep. Thank you for listening and keep on crafting.
It's a bit different, isn't it?